This week's Tireway has been sponsored by Family Dunna, Le'ilu Nishmas, Rabbi Moshe. Chof Adar Beis, Wednesday the 27th of March, Rabbi Gershon Dunna. Poisonous cats, a kittenless cows.
Good morning, everyone. In this week's Sedra, we discuss which animals may or may not be eaten. Therefore, I want to go into a little bit this topic, discuss the sugya of treifas, some animals you can't eat because they're considered a treifa. I want to discuss what happens when we have a seeming contradiction between what the Chazal or the Gemara says and what science holds, and how we reconcile this, and how what should be our train of thought. So the Pasuk says in Shemini, Perigud Aleph Pasuk, Gimel, Kol Mafreses Parasa V'Shesas Shesa Rasois, any animal that has completely split hooves, and is mal as Gera, and it brings up, it chews the cud, and therefore it ruminates, and therefore it takes time to digest what it eats, Toichel, you may eat. Afterwards, the Pasuk goes on to say a list of few animals that have one of these simonim, but not both of these simonim. And it says, those you cannot eat, those are tomei hulochem. They are the camel, the hare, and the hyrax. Those are animals which chew the cud, but do not have split hooves. And then it says that the pig has split hooves, but does not chew the cud. And these are tomei hulochem. By the way, there's a Yiddish expression, chazafisel. Chazafisel is because the chaza sticks out its legs, so everyone thinks that, oh, we have here a kosher animal, but really it's the only animal that, even though it has split hoof, does not chew its cud. Okay. There's a famous Gemara in Pesachim. It's good we mention it, because the halacha is shloshim yoim koidim lachag, because it's talk about Pesach. The Gemara in Pesachim brings down. The Gemara in Pesachim brings down that the Torah goes out of its way to teach us that we have to speak always in a Lashon Nekiyah, in a nice way. Why so? Because in Parashas Noach, when Hashem is telling Noach which animals he should bring to the table, he wants us to bring some kosher and some not kosher animals. And instead of saying that the animals were Tameos, it says Asher Einenu Tahorah, which is an extra 8 letters. And we know that from every single letter in the Torah, we darshan many, many things. And the Torah went out of its way with that pains to add in extra 8 letters just to teach us to speak in Lashon Naki. Einenu Tahorah doesn't say Tameh. Very nice vart. Everyone knows this. Beautiful. Okay. The only question is, I don't know if you heard what I said in the Pasuk. The Pasuk, when it lists these animals that you can't eat, the pig and the rabbit and whatever it is, the Gemara says, Tomehu Lochem. So I don't understand, if we're always at pains to try and not use any Lashon of Tomei, we say Einenu Tahorah, Einenu Tahorah, why suddenly in Parashat Shemini have all our good manners gone out the window and we're suddenly saying Tomei Hulachem, Tomei Hulachem? So I want to suggest an answer. I'll piece something I saw in the Rav Shemshon Fal Hirsch's Sefer Choriv. There he explains very beautifully all the reasons behind all different mitzvahs. It's better like the chinuch, but it goes even more into the understanding the makeup of every mitzvah and why it is that Hashem made this mitzvah. So he explains there that every person is born with a natural animalistic drive to do a taiva for all sorts of things. That's how a person is born. And his job in this world is to try and overcome this natural animalistic drive and to make his mind subservient to his body, to his needs that he was naturally born with. And he explains, I'll hear this yisoid, very beautifully he does so, Barichas, he explains why all things that you're allowed to eat and not allowed to eat are all to try and help man on his mission to overcome his natural animalistic drive. And he explains that vegetables, we're allowed to eat, all vegetables we're allowed to eat. Why is that? Because vegetables are very passive things. The vegetables, they grow, they sit there inside doing nothing, they don't eat, they don't talk, they don't run, they don't fight, and they are therefore very passive. And by eating them, it brings passivity into our bodies and it helps us overcome the natural animalistic drive. And then he explains, Alpinis Yasoid, kosher animal. What are kosher animals? Sheep, cattle, goats. All these are very calm animals. They're not goring animals, they're not wild animals, they don't kick, they don't fight. These are all, if you look at the scheme of animals, these are all on the lower level of the wild animals. And he also explains that when we have to chew the cud, the animal that chews the cud, we're supposed to eat. So the animal that's chewing the cud, it takes to eat something, and it takes a long, long time for it to digest what it's eaten. Yeah, it's coming up, it's going back down, it's coming up. And while other animals can eat and then move on to the next thing, and they're going to run around looking for the next piece of food, all the kosher animals are sitting there calmly trying to digest what they previously ate. And that's why the chewing the cud is a characteristic of a kosher animal.
The ox is kicking.
It's not absolute. Yeah, no one can come with tainah. They want their money back if they got kicked by an animal. That's kosher. He's saying that he's sowing the differences between the types. He also goes on by birds. We're not going to birds today, but by different types of birds. A bird that an attacking bird. A few summers showing you a bird that attacks its prey mid-flight and eats it there. That's the characteristic of a tommy bird. And he explains that's the same reason, because these are all wild animals, and wild animals, if you eat the wild animals, you will develop a sense of wildness yourself, and that's not what we want. He says also, why can't eat the dung, the blood of an animal you can't eat? He says, because the blood, of even of kosher animals, the blood is the chiyus, is the whole, what makes the animal go is the blood circulation, and by eating the blood, you'll be moily, the tevaro, and therefore that's why you can't eat the blood of an animal. With that in mind, perhaps we can understand the stira between the Gemara Pesachim and the Pesukim Parsha Shemini. Because the Baram Sot, in Noach, Hashem telling Noach what to bring for Teva, he's bringing down, he's taking a story, telling us that you should bring this, you shouldn't bring this. Okay. Then the Torah can go out of its way to start teaching us manners, how to speak, how not to speak, to speak it. But over here, the Torah is telling us that it's Osa. And not only that it's Osa, it's telling you this Vod of Shan Fal Hirsch. So these animals you shouldn't eat, because Tomehu Lochem. By eating them, you are going to get some tominess inside you. You're going to get the characteristics of these wild animals, and that we don't want. Therefore, if you just say Einenu Tahora, this message you would never get. You'd never know that it's Tomehu Lochem. And perhaps, I would like to propose, that could be pshat why the Pasuk here does not say Einenu Tahora, because it's coming to teach you that these animals are Taka Tomehu Lochem. Okay. Agree? Okay, now in Parashat Mishpatim, it says, "Avosar b'sadeh treifa loisoichel akelev tashlichen oison." An animal that's been torn, that's been attacked in the field, you shall not eat. You should throw it out to the dogs. This is a makor, an animal that's going to die. A treifa, you're not allowed to eat. Now, Agav in Chayre, if he goes on explain why this is, but this is already beyond the scope of this forum. Now, the Mishnah Chulin in Daf Membeis, which we just finished learning in Daf Yomi, for all those who know Daf Yomi, the Mishnah Chulin brings down 8 different types of treifas. You have 8 different subcategories of animals that are halachically considered a treifa. The Gemara paskens, the Dachlokes of the Gemara, we pasken that an animal that is considered a treifa will inevitably die within 12 months. They cannot live more than 12 months. Pasken treifa ain't a chaya, and it's going to die within 12 months. Okay. Now, the problem is that there are some instances where apparently what we know today in the medical world and what the Gemara says is or is not a treifa do not seem to stim with each other. It seems to be a contradiction. And many people use this to try and poke fun at what Chazal said. Obviously, Chazal were not up to date with the times, and they didn't have Google, and therefore they didn't know that what they said is wrong. And that's chas v'shalom. What we're trying to do today is to explain how we face what we do with such a contradiction, and what should our train of thought be. And I'm going to bring down various instances where there is an apparent contradiction between science and Chazal, and explain how it's not really a contradiction. Often these things we only found out in the last couple of 100 years, and for the 2,000 years between Chazal and now, everyone thought Chazal were wrong, and only recently we found out that perhaps Chazal were right. And we'll explain, I'll pee that, what our train of thought should be. So the first, before we start, there's a famous Shulchan Aruch. One of the treifas is if it's missing a limb. If an animal is missing a limb, it's called chesera, it's missing a limb, it's going to be a treifa, and halachically cannot live more than 12 months. The Gemara says, there's another din of yeser who kanotel, i.e., if you have an extra limb, it's in longus ki'ilu, like it's missing that limb. Therefore, if you have an animal which has 5 legs, in a longus, it'd be like there's a missing leg as well, and therefore, it would be a treifa. Yeah, that's a Gemara. Someone asked the Rashba, that's the trouble with Rashba. I asked the Rashba, I don't understand. I'm a farmer, and I had a big mazel tov in my herd 13 months ago. It was born to me a cow with 5 legs. And I was, okay, I knew I shouldn't put my hopes on the longevity of this cow. Chazal say, treifa in a chaya. And this is clearly a treifa, the Gemara says. It's going to die within 12 months. Alas, it's now 13 months later, and it's alive and kicking, pardon the pun. So, how can we, is the animal kosher, is it not kosher, what's halacha? So, Now, if people, if the Rishonim would have had a tzad that Chazal got it wrong, then the Rapp would have said, oh, you're right, Chazal didn't know what they're talking about, and we see that the Chazal are wrong, let's move on. But Rashba does not say that. We'll see no Rishonim or Achronim ever say that in Mahalach. Rashba says, this is again interesting, Rashba says, you're making a mistake, it's not true what you're saying. You might think that I was born 30 months ago, check your records again, does Kenish line? It cannot be, it must be, it was born less than 12 months ago, because Chazal said a din, that Trefa and Achai, it was an absolute din, and you are wrong. As I thought the Rashba to the Shoyl in the Shuvah's Rashba. On that, there is a Maharshal. The Maharshal disagrees. Maharshal says, perhaps you could say, when Chazal say that an animal is going to die because it's when it's a trefa, it doesn't mean 100% of animals will die. It only means roiv animals die. And even find one animal that is from the miut. Okay, that's not stupid what Chazal said. Chazal said a rule that roiv animals die. And therefore, Taka, you can still use this rule in the halacha, i.e. if you have an animal which you're not sure if it's a trefa or not. If it will live 12 months, you're allowed to eat it. Because now you can assume it's not a trefa. Because al pi roiv, Chazal said that a trefa would die, and therefore from fact it would die. It's not stupid Chazal, but with this, Marshal is trying to reconcile what Chazal say and what the Mitzvah shows.
Chazal should have said
they're saying that's pshat in Chazal. We'll see a few instances where we see this. Now, important to note, both Rashba and Marshal never say, oh, perhaps Chazal got it wrong. Okay. They're just trying to re-quantify what Chazal may have said when they said that statement. But never do they entertain the possibility that Chazal were not up to date. Now, there is a fascinating Chazan Ish, which, if he's Chazan Ish, a lot of what we're going to discuss is not the case. Chazan Ish wants to propose that the Gemara of Rezor says that there was three tkufas in Judaism of 2,000 years. That the first 2,000 years before the Torah, and the middle 2,000 years when the Torah was given and codified and made, and then the last 2,000 years is Man Mashiach and Gemara of Rezor. Chazan Ish wants to propose that since the Torah was quantified in those middle 1,000 years, whatever the Metzias was in the year 4,000, or thereabouts, that is the Metzias that's Koveya all Dinim nowadays. And therefore, even if subsequently a new medicine may have been found, or we find the medical fact that doesn't stem with that, that's no Shaykhus. When Chazal said their Din, they were saying whatever in the year 4,000 is going to be. That's how he wants to look. Okay, interesting. Mahalach, the Moshe about this. That's his Mahalach on this. Okay. Now, there is a Mishnah in, I think it's Daf Nun Gimel, or Nun Beis in Chulin. It says there's something called Drusas Zeiv. If an animal claws another animal, it is a trefa. The Mishnah explains why. Because it injects poison when it claws the other animal. And talking about it, it says very clearly what animals are discussing. It says even a cat and all different types of animals have poison in their claws, and when it claws someone, it injects poison, and therefore it becomes a trefa. Now, the question is that no one in today's scientific world knows of any poison that's in any cat's claws. No such thing. So, for many years, a lot of people thought that Chazal was so nourished, they thought there's poison. They didn't have a microscope, they didn't check inside the cat's claw that there's no poison, and therefore they asked, what's going on? So that was the question they used to ask. Now, also, we have to be very strong poison. The Mishnah there says that a snake which bites, a poisonous bite, that is not called a trefa. That's not enough to make an animal trefa. Clearly, the poison from the cat's claws is more poisonous than a poisonous snake bite. Question is, what's going on? On this, there's a very beautiful Rav Dessler. Now again, until Rav Dessler came along, we had this question, and that was it. We moved on. Says Rav Dessler. He wants to explain in the Michtav Eliyahu, Chelik Dalet, and Michtav Lamed Aleph, he says that it doesn't mean poison. It means that under the claws of an animal, there is bacteria that builds up from when the animal attacks other animals and it starts eating it. Underneath there, they don't have a mother clean their nails every night. Underneath, it builds up bacteria from the meat that it's attacked. And therefore, this bacteria is very potent. And if that bacteria gets planted into another animal, that bacteria causes it to die. That's how Odessa, he says, I'll pee this, he explains many different facts, many different points of the sugya there in Chulin, why it's only the front leg of the cat that can make a drusa, not the back leg, because they're the back legs that they don't eat with, only the front legs they eat with. He goes on to explain all different things. So again, no one, no Rishonim said Chazal got it wrong. They just understood that until now we don't fully understand why Chazal are right, and soon we're going to understand. Came of Dessler and he understood, he explained to us what the Metzius was. The Rambam in his Shechita says, "V'chein elu Shemonu v'omru shein treifa. Af al pi sheyira b'darkei refuah shebadenu, that they still are going to lie, that they don't die, and they can live for a long time. Ein lecha elamar shemonu chachamim shenema al pi atira sheyerucha. So the Rambam addresses the question, but he's not bothered by it. He says whatever Chazal said is true, and that's it. Okay. There's another Mishnah in Daf Nun Dalet. It says these are kosher animals. These are not called a treifa. And the one example it gives is nitlu hakloyus. If the kidneys have been removed, this is not considered a treifa, and it can therefore, it follows, live for 12 months, even though it has no kidneys. For many centuries, all scientists said, whoa, Chazal have got it wrong, because we know that there's no such thing. An animal without kidneys died very quickly, and therefore, for many centuries, they thought that Chazal made a mistake with the Metzias, because the Mishnah says that's not a treifa, and we're very smart, we know that they're wrong and it is a treifa. In the year 1994, someone, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Levinger, put out a sefer called Ma'or L'Mseches Chulin. And there he writes, again, this is from the time of the Mishnah until 1994, we had this question, and there he writes this. He writes, there's evidence today that proves that ruminants have an excretory system that excretes into the rumen. Hence, animals can survive even if their kidneys are removed. Recently, the Rav Chabad, that animals can survive, dafka kosher animals, that the animal ruminates, can have a natural way of getting rid of the bad stuff that the kidneys would normally get rid of. And therefore, he wants to propose that these animals will taka not die, because they, dafka kosher animals, have a way of getting rid of the same thing that kidneys will do, and therefore would be it. Now, if this is true, we have a raya that Chazal, many hundreds of years ago, knew something that we only discovered in the 1900s, yeah? Because no one else ever knew this. It always was a joke of Chazal that they didn't know what to do. However, Professor Shlomo Sternberg of Harvard University didn't like this, yeah? He was trying to propose that Chazal got it wrong. And he argues on this, and he says, even if it's true that animals, kosher animals, do have a way of getting rid of the bad things that the kidneys normally get rid of, it would still be a treifa. Because in the absence of kidneys, there is an increase in the level of urea in the blood, which induces anorexia. And these animals stop eating, and then these animals inevitably die within a very short space of time, and therefore, very nice that we've got rid of the problem that the kidneys aren't working, but even though naturally we have another kidney, but this other kidney would still make it anorexic, and if it would be anorexic, it's still going to die. And therefore, he asks on Rabbi Levinger, they're making a mistake, clearly, that the Chazal got it wrong, because animals are still going to never die. They won't die due to lack of kidneys, they'll die due to anorexia, but that's the change there, he tells us, and therefore, Hodra Kush Leduchte, it's again Shver, what's going on? Now, in Sternberg's argument, there's lots of holes in the riots that he had. The animals that he studied were slaughtered after a week while still in reasonably good shape. They hadn't yet, the appetite had diminished, but we have no riot from the animals that he shechted that they were going to die. They Tucker showed a lack of appetite, but he didn't have a clear riot that they were going to die. He was proposing that the animals were going to die. Now, even if you say it's going to be true, even if you say that he's right, and Rabbi Sternberg from Harvard University is correct, and the animals were anorexic, and they were going to die, I saw Rav Moshe Meiselman, who a lot of my salt material comes from, he writes that if you learn the Rambam, he's a treifa, the Rambam is Mavua, that if you want an animal to be a treifa, it has to die in 12 months because of this injury. It has to be, when you give it a hit on the head, because of that, it's going to die. However, it's clear in the Rambam that if it's not mimakov zeh, i.e. if it's missing kidneys, and therefore because of missing kidneys it became anorexic, and because it's anorexic it's going to die, that would not halakhically constitute a treifa. The treifa doesn't dafka mean as someone who's going to die. It means someone who has an injury that's going to make it die. There's a Mishnah in Chulin and Lama Zion that says that a musukenes, what halakha of shechting a musukenes? Musukenes is going to die. When I was in Koil, we did a shechita in Koil, and we paid for the cheapest animal from the Arab we could find. It was only 1,000 shekel. Normal animals are 2,000 shekel. And we wanted to do a shechita. And the shochet said, Rabbosai, you better shecht it quickly, because this is a musukenes. It's going to die within 10 minutes, because you bought the rubbish animal in the whole of Israel. And therefore, let's shecht it quickly. And even though it's going to die in 10 minutes, that was not called a treifa. Because the fact that it's getting a bit on in age and it's going to die, that's not a treifa. A treifa is an animal which has one of the aforementioned 8 categories of injuries that make it die, not stump being schwach. And therefore, the fact that animals can be anorexic will not make it a treifa, and therefore, Chazal are going to be correct in saying that animal without kidneys is not inherently a treifa, and going to be mut. Okay. There's one more very famous example of a stira between, apparent stira between Chazal and what science says. A kosher fish is a fish that has fins and scales. Everyone knows that. The Gemara in Nidah Daf Nun Aleph says that any fish that has scales, zicha had fins, and therefore is kosher. And therefore, the Gemara says, if you have an animal that has scales, you're not mechuyev to check for the fins. Hence, many people go to Tesco and buy salmon with the skin on, because if you have salmon with the skin on, you know that here are the scales, obviously it's a kosher animal. No one ever buys salmon with fins on. Who cares? We don't need the fins, because it's kosher anyway. Yeah, we're not going into now whether they use a kosher knife or not kosher knife to cut it, and should you do shif shuf or not shif shuf, and you believe them. Well, okay, that's not for now. But akaponim, if you have an animal with scales, you're allowed to, a fish with scales, you're allowed to eat it because you know it had fins. Toysin and Cholin of Samachov brings down, how do we know that? Either it's a Masoira from Odom Harishon or it's Halacha Meshav Sinai. Every animal that has scales has fins, unarguable fact from Odom Harishon or from Moshe Rabbein. In the 17th century, a fish came up. In those times, it was called the Stinkus Marinus fish. Nowadays, it's called the Skinkus Skinkus fish. Everyone can check online, it exists. This fish apparently had scales and no fins. And everyone was very worried. We have a stira to Chazal. And until now, we were only eating fish without fins because we had scales, and we know it can't be that. Maybe we're eating the Skinkus Skinkus fish one of the time. And we're eating a tray for fish. What's going on? And all the Achronim of the time were busy trying to sort out what to do with the Stinkus Marinus fish. And they all have various mahalchim. The crazy says that perhaps like the Mahalach of the Marshal, perhaps Chazal was saying that's roiv, and therefore, even though, again, the law would be true, if you find a fish with scales, you could eat it, because it'll be roiv that had fins. But if you find one fish that wouldn't have it, it wouldn't be a steward to Chazal. On that, the Achronim don't like it. They say, no, it's mashma from Chazal, that it was on, all fish have it, not just roiv. Now, Agav, if it would be roiv, you could still rely on a very big roiv, the Achronim say, Mishkan Yaakov says, a very big roiv, 95% roiv, you wouldn't have to check for the meat. Even though it's Esh Levare, you wouldn't have to. This is what we rely on today. When we go to the Shechita house, we don't check for all the trefers. We only check for ones that are frequent, and all the rest we rely on roiv. Maybe there's a trefer there. Doesn't matter. You're allowed to be serving for roiv if it's a big roiv, even Esh Levare, and therefore that could be the Mahalach to explain the stinkers from Renos and fish.
Every fish is individual, so it's not the same kind of roiv.
I mean, roiv fishes in the world. Roiv fish that have scales. I don't think it's done it individually. I don't think so. Okay, I want to finish it. We're running out of time, and we know what happens if you go over time. So the answer wants to suggest, and maybe this is a crossbreed. This is a fish that didn't exist in time of Chazal, and this is a new fish, and therefore it's not bound to Chazal what they said. However, all Achronim say, what do you mean? Im Kain, you've lost the whole rule of Chazal. You'll never be soimach what Chazal say, because maybe the crossbreed say, and therefore it's not going to be good. And therefore they don't like his mouth. Other Achronim want to say that the Stinkus Marinus has some sort of feet. It scurries around on feet. And perhaps there is no halachic literature saying what the fins have to be. Perhaps these feet are halachic fins, and therefore it's not a problem because these are called fins mitzvah. Halacha. Okay. Then there's another halach in Achronim that perhaps it had fins and fell off. We find very many times that there's some fish that shed their scales straight away when you take them out of the water, and we find that there are no scales. It doesn't matter, as long as it ever had scales, the Mechaber says in Pei Gimel Aleph, it's mutter, and therefore perhaps the Stinkus Marinus fish had fins, and the fins were shed when it came out of the water, and therefore it would be okay.
Is it kosher or kosher?
What?
Kosher or
not? That was a shy, one going in a minute, wasn't it?
Perhaps, when you know there's been a case that
say again? Oh, okay, okay. We're trying that again. They were faced with a question. What do we do? Chazal are wrong. From Islam, what can we do? They're proposing different mahalachs. Yaakov Emden wants to say that maybe it's only the gabi fish, and this is a sea creature, it's not really a fish, and it wouldn't apply. Akaponim, this was all that Achronim were busy discussing what to do. Now, again, so I want to, what the aside we've taken out for everything we discussed today. The aside was that every Rishon and Achron since the time of Chazal, whenever they're faced with apparent contradiction of Chazal and science, are never suggesting, Chazal got it wrong, and the Metzius has changed. We saw there's many different Mahalchim that they say in each case, either to try to propose that Chazal didn't mean X, they meant Y. They didn't say all, they meant roiv. Maybe it had fins and they fell off. Maybe, always, no one, the Rishonim never ever say, Chazal got it wrong, and we, so again, it means in any other shiloh that we only have half an hour today, but there's many different cases when apparently Chazal and Shai don't stim. The school of thought has to be that we don't yet understand why Chazal are right, because we're very limited. Yeah, what we know now, we didn't know 50 years ago, and what we know 50 years time, we didn't know now. And therefore, it's not be'etzemus to you. That has to be the yesoid whenever we're faced with such a question. Now, good news for all you stinkers, marinas, fish eaters, there's a very ironic ending to this shiloh. And it's brought down in the Chacham Sofer in Chulin, Daf Samach Vav. And he brings down this question, what do you do? Chazal say, every fish has scales, has fins. And we have the stinkers, marinas, fish that doesn't seem to have fins. And what are we going to do? And he says that, Nisbar Eloi al-Yedei Mumchin b'Chachmei HaTeva. He spoke to big scientists and big Mumchin b'Chachmei HaTeva. And then he writes also, and he read it himself in various science books, as it says the Heilige Chacham Sofer, that this Stinkus marinus is not a fish. It's a lizard that hangs out on the shore of the sea. And therefore it has no shaykhus to the dinim of fish bichlal. Punk people saw it running around in the sea, and they thought, oh, we got here a fish, we have a steer to Chazal. He says, in this bar, now, Pasha Ul Al-Akhoyim didn't know this fact. But again, even though they didn't know this fact, they still never had a sal, Chazal got it wrong. Punk, before everyone should go home with not being able to sleep tonight, that they think the stink of marinus is a problem. No, says the Chacham Sofer, the stink of marinus fish is not a fish, and therefore it's loud, and everyone should remember this is so very important, so that whenever you have a contradiction in Chazal and science, it's never really a contradiction. We just posh don't yet understand why this is so, and everyone should sleep well at night and enjoy your stinkus marinus fish. Chaltov, have a good day. You know, Shaykh, but not Steve Chazal, you're right. They're not kosher, you're not. Yeah.